Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see in March. And what a stunning array awaits you overhead once the sun sets. It's rare to have so many celestial sparklers crowded into the sky at once. Let's start with the show being put on by Venus and somewhat fainter Jupiter. Both are well up in the southwest at nightfall, and they'll be a spectacular pairing all month long. If you've glanced at the evening sky any time during January or February, you know that these two have been edging closer, ever closer, together week by week. As March begins, they're 11 degrees apart, about the width of your fist held at arm's length. That gap narrows to only half as wide by the 9th, and on the 12th through the 14th, the separation is just 3 degrees, the width of a couple of fingers on your outstretched arm. Better still, these two show-offs linger in the sky for about 4 hours before setting. Enjoy them while you can, because in the weeks afterward, Jupiter continues to slide toward the western horizon. Meanwhile, Venus stays fairly high up, reaching what astronomers call greatest elongation, 46 degrees from the Sun, on the evening of the 26th. In fact, the brilliant planet is about as high above the horizon as it ever can be. That's because the imaginary line along which the Sun and bright planets travel, called the ecliptic, intersects the western horizon at a very steep angle during March. This puts Venus more directly above the Sun, rather than lower down to one side of it. In early March, that steep angle also improves your chances of seeing Mercury, the innermost planet, which is lurking down in the twilight. If the western sky is free of haze or clouds, try looking for it 30 to 40 minutes after sunset. Just draw an imaginary line from Jupiter down through Venus and to the lower right. You should spot Mercury about one fist above the horizon. Take a shot at spotting Mercury now, because it won't be positioned this well again in the evening sky for the rest of the year. Now, take a turn to your left to look south. There, in the deepening blue, you'll find the first star of the evening, brilliant Sirius, the Dog Star. How early in twilight can you pick it up? Anytime during the first days of March, make a note of the horizon point directly below this beacon at 8 p.m. That's very nearly due south. Sirius is the brightest star in the entire nighttime sky by a wide margin, though it's no match for dazzling Venus or Jupiter. Sirius is the real star of the winter season, but you can see it throughout much of the year if you know when to look. Sometime in August, it first becomes visible low in the east shortly before dawn. 5,000 years ago, because of the wobble of Earth's spin axis, this pre-dawn appearance occurred in late June, and ancient Egyptians knew that the first glimpse of Sirius came just before the annual flooding of the Nile River. They worshipped the star as the spirit of the river. Apparently, they were also the first to depict this star as a dog. In more recent times, sky watchers realized that the Dog Star rises and sets with the sun during late July, an arrangement in the sky known as a conjunction. Some cultures believed that the heat from Sirius, combined with the heat of the sun, create the hot and sultry weather that often comes in late summer. So they named this period of time, from 20 days before the conjunction to 20 days afterward, the Dog Days. And today, we still refer to this sticky weather as the Dog Days of summer. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's stick with March for now, okay? As dusk deepens, look to the upper right of Sirius to spot the mighty constellation Orion, the Hunter. Its two brightest stars are Rigel, the white star marking Orion's lower right foot, and orange-red Betelgeuse, his upper left armpit. Midway between them, look for a three-star row that marks Orion's belt. Once you've located Betelgeuse, look to its left for the bright star Procyon. These two stars, together with Sirius, form a big equilateral triangle, known as the Winter Triangle to skywatchers. Look to the upper left of Procyon for a pair of bright stars stacked vertically just a few degrees apart. These are creamy-colored Pollux and icy-white Castor, the twins of Gemini. They're similar in brightness, so to tell which one is which, just remember that Pollux, with a P, is the one closer to Procyon. Now swing your view to the left, toward east. You won't fail to notice a very obvious beacon down near the horizon. It's the planet Mars. On March 3rd, the red planet reaches opposition, meaning it's opposite the sun in the sky. It's also as bright as it's going to get this time around, a close match to Sirius overall, though decidedly peachier in color. A big fat moon skirts to the lower right of Mars on the 7th, and the moon is full the next night. Not far away to the upper right of Mars, you'll see a reasonably bright star parked well over the horizon. That's Regulus, the key star in Leo, the lion. Regulus sits at the bottom of a backward question mark that stretches toward upper left. Can you see it? That's the lion's head and mane. His hindquarters and tail are marked by a triangle of medium-bright stars down to the lower left. At this time of year, I think of Leo rising up in the east as a harbinger of spring, just like Orion's climb a few months ago told me winter was coming. Since you and Orion are old friends by now, I'd like you to make a special effort to view the mighty hunter sometime between March 13th and the 22nd. That's when thousands of sky watchers around the world will be using Orion's stars to gauge just how much light pollution they've got. It's quick, easy, and fun. No telescope or special equipment is needed. Just go to the website globeatnight.org. Download the handy star charts there, match your view to the charts, and log in to record your observation. That's all there is to it. It's said that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. Somewhere in between comes the March equinox, marking the start of astronomical spring in the Northern Hemisphere and autumn in the Southern Hemisphere. This year that event occurs on the 20th at 1:14 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can impress your friends with this interesting tidbit. On the equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you are. By the way, note that Americans switch to daylight time on March 11th, whereas our European friends wait until the 25th. If you want more skywatching tips, check out our official website, skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll talk about some carnivores that are stalking upward in the eastern sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.